little things, but my Bible's on my phone, just like yours, I suppose. Thank you for the privilege of being with you guys. It's lovely. I'm going to bring a short message from John chapter 1, if you want to open your Bibles there or whatever. And do I have to say where we are from? Maybe. Nay. We live in Mozambique, which is in the southern part of Africa, which is very, very far away. Okay. We took two flights, first to the Netherlands and then to Calgary. Oh, and then a third flight even. So it's just too far. It took us just about 5 days to notice that we've arrived. But we're very, very pleased to be here. We always hear wonderful things about you guys, about this community. We're so thankful that our family can have a community like this. Thank you very much. Okay. Before I start reading from John, I just want to have a short prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that I can be here with your other children thinking about what you have done for us. Yeah, coming down from heaven, becoming a person. Lord, it's so very big, so very strange when we start thinking about it. We praise your name for that. And we ask that you will turn our hearts to you. Lord, sometimes we're not all there. Sometimes we drift away. But I do ask that your word will speak to each one of us, that we can be renewed in our faith as well today. In Jesus' name, amen. So actually, I want to read the whole chapter, but I won't, okay? Because it's long. So I'll do the first 13 verses and then we'll see where it goes. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor a husband's will, but born of God. Now, friends, if we read this whole chapter, we start noticing that the Lord repeats the same words the whole time. He starts with light, that Jesus is the light of the world, and then he starts talking about seeing and looking and receiving revelation, being revealed, and these words come over and over. So they are the important words for our message today: light and looking and seeing. And I hope that our eyes will be a little bit opened more to what we should be able to see as Christians. And maybe some of us may think that, you know, I'm not a very spiritual person and I can't see the Lord at work and all those things. I think the Lord is inviting everyone to have open eyes and to see what he is doing in the world, not in an not as a theory or abstract, but in the midst of all our difficulties, the Lord is inviting us to see him at work. He is the light of the world. And in a certain sense, I suppose we can call that being saved. Being saved is not a once-off thing. We get converted, hopefully. We turn to the Lord. Then we are saved. But that's not the end of the saving process. Then the Lord really starts working at us. And what he wants to do is open our eyes to see him all around us. The Savior of the world has come for us to invite us to see the world as he sees it. And that includes you as well, friend. Maybe you've got the greatest difficulty of noticing spiritual things. But I don't think we are going to lean on our own humanity for that. We are going to expect the Lord to do things that we cannot do. Because when we hear that the Lord wants us to see him in our surroundings, to include us in his big salvation, many times we look at ourselves and we think how often our hearts turn away from him. And how often we don't want to pray. How often we don't want to open our hearts to him. We have some kind of hurt or whatever, and we somehow decide to carry that on our own. We don't invite him to touch it. You know, sometimes we give up with ourselves. We think, well, you know, being spiritual is very good, but maybe it's not exactly for me. And we do sometimes have to look at ourselves and we have to see these things in our own hearts, but we don't stop there. We leave it with the Lord and then we're carrying on. Because if we keep on looking at our own failures and shortcomings, there is no salvation. That's for sure. Looking at ourselves. Salvation comes from the Lord Jesus. Who is this Savior? Who is this? You know, in Christmas time, we say the little Lord Jesus. Who is this little Lord Jesus? Born as a baby. John says in the start of our scripture reading, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. This is our Savior. We sometimes think of him as a man or as a baby. But wow, to think that he was in the beginning, part of creation, nothing was made without him. He is the light of the world. Well, that's big. So where I want to go is that we should, with a decision, we should open our eyes to see the Lord at work. And how will that work? I want to tell two stories about being lost. I don't know if you can get lost in Canada. Where will you? Well, there is a bit of forest around, isn't it? So maybe you can get lost here. I don't know. But where I come from, you can get lost. I remember when I was new there in Mozambique, I went to, you know, just walk around. Wanted to see, you know, the area, the farm, get to know the place. Now, looking at all kinds of things, and suddenly I discovered I didn't know where I was. And there's just trees and cloud cover. And now what do you do? you tend to maybe panic a little bit, and then you keep on walking. Well, luckily, eventually, I came to a place that I recognized, and I could find my home, my way home. Quite tired, ne? Being lost is not funny. Got another story about being lost, much worse. We have a friend, a lady. She must weigh about 42 kilos, I'm sure. A little old lady, known her for a long time. She became blind while we were there. But she doesn't like sitting at home. She tries to still weed her own maize patch. So her family gave her a new patch to weed. And these things are, you know, people live together, and then out there, a kilometer or three, four, five even, that's where their farms would be. So she got someone to take her out to her new farm. And they show her like the corner of this place. And then she goes by feel, you know, she tries to feel the maize plants and then weed, the other stuff. I haven't seen her doing it. My wife has been with her. I can't imagine. You know, I would just sit. But she does that. Okay, so they deposited her on a little plot of maize, and she started weeding. And whoever took her there went away. Usually she gets a little girl or someone to lead her with a stick. And then they left her. And usually she can find her way home. But this was a new patch, and she couldn't find her way home. So she started walking, but this lady's blind. Started walking and walking and walking and shouting and shouting. And she didn't have the faintest clue where she was. Nothing. So eventually she lay down and slept wherever in the forest. Okay, it's not your kind of forest. It's, you know, it's not cold, okay, but still. So we heard about this late afternoon. What to do? Now it's dark. Nothing doing. Nobody knows where this lady is. Early next morning, a family went out, started looking for her, and they found her about a kilometer of 2-3, you know, I don't know where. Maybe she was shouting. I think she was shouting. And they found her and took her home. That can't be nice. I mean, being lost is one thing. Being blind and lost, that's just not the kind of thing that we even want to imagine. But that's a little bit like living your life without the Lord Jesus. The scripture says he is the light of mankind. He's the one that enables us to see what is truly going on, the spiritual reality, the real reality. In this chapter, the Lord is saying that he is the light. And then scripture tells us, look and see. Look and see. That's our part, right? He is the light, and we have to look and see. Because what help is the light going to be if we close our eyes, if we refuse to look? We will be like those people in verse 9 and 10. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. How did that even work? Imagine walking through a forest and keeping your eyes closed on purpose. You're just going to get yourself hurt. You're going to get lost. So I'm always amazed when I read about the birth of the Lord Jesus, right? The light of the world, the one who was expected. Everybody was waiting for the Messiah. And then he's born, and who sees him for what he is? A bunch of strange Iranian wise men or whatever. They come from very far away and they bring homage. And a bunch of shepherds. A bunch of shepherds that was called by the angels to come and see. And they went and looked. But in the midst of the whole Bethlehem, in about 2 years' time, these two groups that managed to see the Savior of the world that was born. And everybody else was just blind. Is it willful? How did that happen? I mean, and you can carry on talking about Jesus' whole life and how his people just didn't see him for what he is. No interest. Nothing. It takes a bit of effort, even for us as Christians, to see what the Lord wants us to see. We have to look. We have to open our hearts for him. I do want to read some of these verses for you, just so you can hear what he says. Verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him. And he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Most of those people that heard him, they didn't see it. Verse 31, "I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed, that people might see him." Verse 32, "Then John gave this testimony, 'I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him.'" Verse 34, "I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one." Verse 36, "When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.'" Verse 38, "Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, 'What do you want?' They said, 'Rabbi, where are you staying?' 'Come,' he replied, 'and you will see.' And what did they see? The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, 'We have found the Messiah.' And he brought him to Jesus." We have found the Messiah. They came, they saw, and they actually saw with their spiritual eyes. Verse 46. "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. And verse 51. He then added, Jesus speaking, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Dear friends, even though we are Christians, we can stumble through this world like blind people if we keep on closing our spiritual eyes. The Lord is calling me and you to come, to look, and to see. And this is a spiritual work. It's a spiritual work. The seeing comes through the Spirit. We are called to live in the Spirit. It's the Spirit that brings us life and makes us children of God. It's not our human intellect. We can't reason these things through. We have to open our hearts to the Lord Jesus. Our seeing is by continually opening ourselves up to him, by spending time, by reading the scripture, by thinking about the Lord. Sometimes I get, what shall I call it? I want to sound at least a little bit good. Sometimes I get tired of spending time with the Lord. Don't know if that happens to you. I stop reading my Bible. My wife's much better at reading Bible than I do. I try to do it every day and think about things, but sometimes I stop. And then for a week or 10 days. It happens. And you know, then I notice something. My life takes a downturn. In a very clear way. I get a little bit depressed. Things are difficult. It's crazy. And then I think, hey, I haven't been reading Bible. You know, maybe I need the Lord to to open my eyes here and touch my heart again. And then I come back to the Lord. I start reading my scriptures. I start thinking about these things, allowing the Lord to touch me. And it's like the light goes on again. Isn't it? So what I'm saying is, it is a work. We have to choose to look and see. And we have to do that on a continual basis. And sometimes it's very difficult to do. But that's the way to go. The truly important things, insights and perspectives and revelation, and for me at least, seeing a future where things go God's way, that comes from the Lord Himself. I need to open my heart for that. We do not have to stumble through a dark forest like a blind person. Salvation has come for me and for you, and the Lord invites us to come and see. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, this world tends to just blind us. It lies to us. It draws our hearts away. It causes havoc. But Lord, thank you that you never leave us in that situation. That you come, that you reach out, that you touch us, that you speak to us, that you send people to encourage us, that you speak to us through your word and through your spirit. We praise your name, Lord, that salvation has truly come to each one of us, and that we can live in the joy of your salvation, in the light of your life. Amen.